Hi, thank you. Thank you again coming to my show, Tika.
No problem. It was a pleasure the last time, and I would love to speak to you again.
So I thought to tell about the work that you're doing to my audience. So, and also where you live and where are you from, so all those things.
Sure. So I am currently a senior product designer at GitLab. And what I do there is I take care of the pipeline security related experiences. I mean, before this, I was taking care of all the generic workflows related to pipelines when it comes to GitLab. And now I specifically look into variables, secrets, tokens. Yeah, and that has been fun so far. Currently, I am living in Toronto, and before this, I was in Bangalore. But yeah, I mean, my plan is to like switch between the two places because I like both. And that is me.
So, when last time we interacted, you said about you as a product designer, and now you switched your roles. So, how is this?
The last time we spoke, I was mostly only looking at the pipeline execution workflows in GitLab, which means like when a user comes in, they not author, authoring was a different experience, but when they start to run a pipeline for which the definition has already been provided, and like what the experience is, how they are able to track the progress of their pipeline. How they're able to like look at the logs, understand what's going wrong, and fix the problems. So all of that was something that I looked at, and then eventually, like given my knowledge about the whole area, we thought that it would be good if I started to broaden my scope in work and start thinking about how we can improve the other experiences as well.
So how is now working into security and all?
It's different. It's definitely like different from what I was looking at before. It's a space that, I mean, it's still pipelines, but within pipelines, it's a space that I am not like super familiar with. So yeah, every day is a like today I learned day for me so far. It's a totally different kind of conversation that I'm having with users these days, and the kind of research insights that I work with. It's like much deeper than just those generic concerns, right? Like this is so specific, and there's so many different ways that the sensitive information can be compromised. And I mean, this is the time when that's like a really major concern. Even like most of the federal governments around the globe, they are focusing and doubling down on making sure that the softwares are secure, so the data of the public, of people, it's not like leaked in cases when it shouldn't be. So it's definitely interesting, and I'm trying my best right now.
So how your previous experience is helping you in doing this?
Absolutely, yeah. I like besides just working on my own product area previously, what I also did was once in a while I got a chance to support the other teams. So I have this holistic knowledge that kind of is backing me right now because there's too much information in this head right today. I mean, I also know things that I don't know how I know about. So it's very funny. But yeah, all of those things are helping. So even though I'm tackling very new problems, but I have a really good background knowledge about the small pieces that are backing those features. So yes, that is helping.
So, what is your way of looking at the present problems in your role?
So first of all, my I would say mantra is don't be scared, just like dive into it. Of course, because that's also my job. So I just like pick things up and with an intention to figure things out on the way. And like how I like to work as a product designer is looping my entire team with me in the process. So it's not like they're working on the development phase or they're working on creating the plan ahead and then I just swoop in, give the designs and go back. It doesn't work like that. We work very collaboratively. So it's so much easier when you have to figure things out along with your team, like with the support of the front end, back end engineers, your product manager. When everybody like works together in the team, it's super easy to figure the problems out and like work on a proposal.
So working for different applications, is it same, the procedure that you implement?
I think a designer does have like some say there, some choices to make there, no matter which product they're working on. It differs from individual to individual, but a very critical factor there is that not all organizations are very supportive of it, of you like coming up with your own process, with your own method of working and doing your job in your own way. So that way I'm like really lucky that I have sort of a support system here, which is very conducive and very helpful. And it's all about getting the results in the end.
So security is like backbone for any applications and you're working on it. How is that experience and that
scary
feeling?
I feel scared. Yeah, I mean, suddenly like the accountability graph chart, like it's off the chart. That's like, so it definitely, I feel more accountable and responsible now. And I make sure that I like double check, triple check all the decisions I made and I'm making. So, and that's also the reason like keeping the entire team informed and working together with everyone, especially working like transparently in the open, it's always good. I mean, I never feel bad about harsh feedbacks. In fact, I always appreciate those because the more candid, the better. The lesser like sugarcoating, the better. And that happens where I work.
And what kind of experience that you got after shifting from that role?
The one thing that has happened pretty well after moving is my collaboration with my team, that I was kind of in the same time zones as most of my team members, but then my team changed and now most of my team members are in the APAC time zone. But we are still like doing pretty well in terms of async communication. And apart from that, I get to meet my team members more here and attend the conferences, which otherwise like traveling all the way from India, it was like not a great experience traveling for 24 hours and then going back within 3 to 4 days. So those things are helping. It's that way I'm getting to broaden my knowledge about this whole space, like when I speak to users, when I speak to other software developers, which may and may not be the users of the product that I'm working on. So yeah, I mean, I would say that's the only change.
So I remember our last chat where you're talking about your role with this project, product design. And you are giving answers for a lot of questions like an expert when you was in India. And I can see you have a good understanding about product and what is product. I ask general questions about what is product and how it is made. And you give very wide range of answers for that. And from that to this, which is completely a different job, and you being in this,
it's not very different, I would say. It's pretty much like same, just that with time, the understanding matures. And the more you know what you don't know, the more grounded you become. So that has been happening.
So what that scary thing, you know, that you have seen, because you have changed it a lot.
What scary thing?
Because you are working on a different thing now.
Right.
What are those things that are making you to be very focused and?
I mean, I generally like keep myself updated with the ongoings in the tech industry, and there have been like so many different cases of data leakage and like security, what do you call it? Like all those problems going on where like users' information is leaked, and with all those many laws protecting those information, it just becomes very difficult for an organization to kind of like manage one such circumstances when an incident like that occurs. And of course, like you and I have been also a victim of such security incidents while using other apps. So our data is compromised in many ways, and we do not appreciate it. Like nobody appreciates it. So I just want to make sure that that doesn't happen because of us. Like nobody goes through what we went through in different circumstances while using a product that I am working on. So understanding the criticality, not just as a product designer, but also as a person who wouldn't appreciate such leakage about information that they do not want to be public knowledge. I mean, it might not be very directly like information about individuals in my case. It's more about like what credentials you're using on different like AWS or Google Cloud provider. But eventually what I think we are safeguarding at the end is the information that people don't want to be public knowledge, and just like respecting the sovereignty. That's all.
So listening to all these problems daily, and what do you think? What is there any particular way that you suggest or you think that that will solve all the security problems?
I definitely don't have any views about it. And I won't like... I'm learning, and I know that there's no definitive answers, because had there been any definitive answers, people would have used them, like applied those knowledge on different solutions, and nothing would have gone wrong ever. But like humans are creative. Like if we are creative, I'm pretty sure people who are trying to disrupt and like look for information, they're also creative. So yeah, we can't say much about that.
But what need to be changed in order to reduce, at least decrease the number?
I think that organizations have to start being transparent. So sometimes what happens is we are promising something in words, but in terms of technical capacity, technical capability, that's not 100% true. Like, I would say products overpromise. They should not do that. They should like communicate very transparently and keep the users aware that these are the risks. So like, take good care while you are venturing on this path. I think if most of the organizations, they adopt this ethos of being truthful, honest, and transparent, like, be more accountable for their actions, that would solve a lot of problems in the longer run.
So the previous experience, the previous work experiences, you worked in different organizations before. So collecting all those information and learning from all those experiences, how do you think today's technology or today's security in technology is working? What is the difference that you are observing?
So the difference that I am observing from the outside, more than that, I think I'm observing a difference in my perspective, like how I used to be awed and like be a fan of technology. That has kind of changed. Like, I always take things with a pinch of salt. I try to understand like what could be the deeper repercussions of something down the line and not just get very impressed by what I see in the first look. So how I absorb the information has definitely changed, but how the industry is operating, they're definitely like, to keep their businesses up and running, they're having to adhere to different laws that have come into picture, and also like to safeguard their own reputation in the industry, they're making like promises that is expected out of them. So that's happening. Like, nobody's careless enough to just, you know, move fast and break things. They're more cautious is what I'm seeing.
So why do people want to destroy or create negative things?
Maybe because of lack of knowledge. Like, they see a lot of potential in something, but they like fail to understand that at a more social and human level, what can be the drawbacks or what can be the negative impact that something can have. That requires like a much deeper understanding of the society for sure. And that's the reason, like, if we only acknowledge the technologists around us and not the people who are like pursuing humanities, like kind of giving them a second citizen treatment, then we'll keep running into problems. I think a key to bettering technology is definitely working in collaboration with people in the humanities, because these two brains, they need to work in sync so that we are developing something for the betterment of humanity in general.
And what is their motive doing this?
Whose motive?
People who are creating problems and making you to solve it.
Making me solve it as in, I'm sorry, I didn't get it.
You are responsible for security, and they are trying to create, break the security.
See, most times it's not somebody breaking the security. It's just like security breaking itself. It's like something is exposed and we are expecting that nobody would see it. But if something is exposed, some people will just like, they can't just ignore it, right? So we also have to think of a lot of those scenarios, because there's not always a bad actor, but it's all about what kind of access we are giving to people with what kind of role, because not assuming like bad intent or something, but we have to be sure, like, I mean, generally when a person is in a particular role, their concerns are different from another person who's in a different role and has a different understanding of the whole situation. So like organizations, they make sure that, let's say if it is about compliance, then only this particular dedicated team should be taking the calls about the security related policies. But a developer whose job is to like work on features day in and day out, they haven't got time yet to like deep dive into all the compliance related policies yet. So why would they care? And it's justified. Like, why should they care? It's not their job. But if we, like, through our role-based access, if we have provided them enough control to make and go changes there, which maybe in some circumstances they might just go and have to because there's no one there to help them, so they will not make the best calls. And that's human. Like, not everybody can do everything. So we are also designing to make sure that we don't allow for such situations to occur.
So in your learning journey about security and technology in all your life, what that experience, that learning experience taught you? What policies need to come still in order to reduce the human mental physical effort?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
in order to you know, reduce the problem that is being created, can be automatically created, or it is created by somebody who is doing intentionally, whatever. The problems are being created, and you have so much experience in technology, in working in different roles and different organizations in your life. So from that learning experience, watching technology, watching security, watching and observing the policies of the technology of different organizations and softwares that you have seen, what more should come in order to reduce more physical and mental effort, experts like you?
I'll be very honest that no matter what changes you bring, there will always be challenges, new challenges to look at. So there is no absolute solution. I don't believe in absolute solutions. Yeah, we have to be proactive in ensuring that whatever we are putting in place like provides enough level of defense against any attacks, or like we should use the extent of our imagination to make sure that we are securing something, but we should not be like complacent with whatever solution we put in place that this is going to be it. There won't be anything beyond this. I told you, humans are creative. Everybody is.
So how to defend it?
I think having a good mix of like proactive stance and defensive stance, like be quick when you observe something to like tackle it. At the same time, keep on thinking and imagining situations. Don't like just wait for something to happen.
Is there any particular qualities in human that really helps in that thinking way, which helps in solving this?
Humans, yes. Humans, like I said, they're really good at thinking, but what they really need to be able to like put such policies in place is the organizational support. I mean, without that, it's just very difficult to do anything. So like the organization should be forward looking and proactive, and it should like provide enough agency to the people who are trying to like do the best to do their job and like make sure that they have everything that they need to be supported.
And you are into music as well.
Yes, I am.
So with Hindustani?
It used to be Hindustani when I was in Hindustan, but now I thought it's a good chance for me to also look at what's on the other side. So I'm learning Western classical.
So what's the difference?
There are many differences. Like if you talk about, well, as in how the whole systemic layout of both the concepts are. But what I have seen so far is Western is very, like, it's very strict. There's a lot of improvisation that happens in Hindustani classical, whereas in Western, like, things are kind of set in stone. So you don't have a lot of room to, you know, maneuver and do things on your own. I'm learning also to read sheet music and like understand notes from there and play on my own. That's very different because so far, I mean, when I was learning Hindustani, it was mostly just like oral knowledge being transferred. But here there's so much of documentation that it's nice. I mean, both have their own specialities. I have a little more, I would say, bias towards Hindustani classical because I don't know, for many reasons, but it's really good to learn Western because, like I said, I mean, it even as a person, as a designer, as a human, you get to like see two completely different systems and experience them, and like while singing also what kind of things you have to put stress on and what should be going on in your head. I love it. it's like learning a different language altogether, and of course it's not easy.
So you are seeing differences in both the countries that you lived in, and you are interacting with different people now. So talking with different people, being in different places, experiencing different things, experiencing emotions from different parts of the world. From these experiences, do you find any answers for the security job that you are doing?
You're making me think about it. Maybe subconsciously I am, because like I cannot put my finger on like what's something very new that I have learned, or what has pushed me to change my perspective. But I mean, there's always some takeaway from experiences like this, and not always the kind of takeaways that you can register. So a lot happens at the back of your head when you're not thinking about it. Definitely, I have learned that the concerns of people in this part of the world is so much different than what's going on there. And yeah, like in forums, bringing up the voice of like South Asia, that's definitely an opportunity that I'm getting here. And also, like at the same time, I'm getting to understand how these two sets of people think differently, have different concerns, have different ways to address their problems. So working on a product that is being developed by people from across the globe, I mean, I just can't like stress enough on how lucky and thankful I am for the kind of people that I'm working with, and the fact that there are so many perspectives in play here. It's not that this one perspective is kind of dominating the other one. There's a good distribution.
And what mindset helps you to adopt to the different perspectives that you are observing?
Not being reactive definitely helps. Just trying to understand like where these concerns are coming from, like what's the underlying reason, what's the experience, the past experience, the history of the place, or the like history in general of the place that has impacted the way people think here, or what are the kind of problems that they're facing, which is very different from what you face on the other side. Can you repeat a question?
I even forgot the question. I'm listening to your answer.
Okay.
So you're listening to a lot of perspectives, and what mindset that you have that is helping you to not to be judgmental and be very open-minded and understand it and use that you know, that information for productivity?
Right. So first of all, I am judgmental. I'm very judgmental. But I try to keep it to myself. I mean, I give everybody else also the right to be judgmental about me. I mean, and the brain just works, right? You cannot switch it off. You will make judgments. But what I try to do is definitely that I try to put it into some productive usage. So I, for example, had my doubts about many different things. So this experience is helping me get a clearer picture of my own goals. Like, is this really what I want? So when you have not experienced something, then choosing between that option and this other option is difficult. But when you know what both are like, it's difficult. It's much easier to say, oh, I like this one out of these two. And that is pretty much what's happening with me, that I'm becoming more sure about what I want just because I'm here. And I know what this other option has to offer.
So what is working for you in order to make things happen?
Like,
you're taking decisions, you're making decisions, and you're solving problems. There must be some qualities in you that are making you do and things make, you know, come true?
It's a mix of planning and leaving things to the higher power, like things that you have no control over. Sometimes I get really panicked because I of course have, like, I don't have plans to like stick to a place or stick to a thing for too long. But when I think about the transition phase, it also bothers me that, oh my God, I'm like really ill planned. But then I think about all the times when I have made it happen and it has gone through all fine. So that gives me some sort of surety that there's no point stressing about things that are not in my control, and everything eventually like goes fine, I think. But yeah, this experience has helped me understand that. What was I saying? What was the question? I'm sorry. I think I have to write questions now.
Yeah, actually you're thinking deeper. Actually, it's a simple question.
Yeah. So can you repeat that? I'll write it down.
Yeah, I'll ask the next question. Mm-hmm. Now you are observing the global, you know, products and their designs and the security of that products. Now you have, you know, evolved compared to before because you are watching bigger things and learning, constantly learning. So how is that watching the global companies and their products and the security models that they have? What is a common thing that everybody have?
I don't think it's very different from when I was back in India, because I was still working for a global company, and like the amount of visibility into different operations, processes, decision making was pretty much the same. But I mean, what's common among the global companies when it comes to security these days is they're all concerned. They're all worried. And like, just to make sure, like, especially in the present environment, everybody cares about their profit making, the profit margins, and how they're performing. And nobody really wants to take a hit because they broke some policy, they leaked some data, they were in breach of some law. So I mean, you would know that we come across news every single day that because of this particular law in the UK or the US, this particular company had to pay like in millions and billions to the government. So nobody wants that to happen. And everybody is cautious. They all care at least about their profits. And that's making them care about the security part as well. Maybe a very crude way of putting it, but I think that's the reason.
The question that I'm going to ask now, I already asked a person who is into global business, global technology business, and I'm asking you the same one. Is there any common qualities or moral values or ethics that business leaders or company owners or founders, CEOs, CFOs need to have in order to have this healthy environment and maintain this healthy environment and not to be too competitive for the profits?
As an employee, as someone who's not like in any of the executive roles, I would say it really helps for employees to contribute to an organization's success if the culture is that of transparency, and it's less about people, more about results. And people are like incentivized to collaborate, to like give results and to perform, but not in a way that kind of, I mean, every organization incentivizes performance, right? But they do it in a way that like, you're allowed to do just anything. You're allowed to like step over another person to achieve what you want. So that, I think, that really kills the internal ethos a lot. Incentivizing collaboration, incentivizing respecting the people you're working with, they're all very different than what happens in the organizations today, but working for an organization that has actually made that happen, we operate by some set of values. When I would have told you this before, that before I joined my company, I did not think that this is the way the values would be in play, but you're actually, they play a role in your performance evaluation, and that's amazing. I mean, it doesn't leave a lot of room to be a bad person. And this goodness is kind of contagious. Like, you would start enjoying it, and you would suddenly feel like, why was I not like this before? Why did I not do this before? It's so much less stressful. It's so good. It lets me do my job well. And eventually, when that happens, the organization does well, because people are feeling accountable. They don't hate the management. They are they know that the management is there to support them. So when there's this mutual respect and for each other's work, and there's this support and collaboration, I would say it definitely changes the moral environment of an organization and sets it up for success. It implies for all organizations, whether or not they're global or not. But just that I have experienced this one time, and I hope other organizations adopt it too. That would be amazing to see that happen someday.
So you said humans are creative. When I was asking about security related thing, so emotion or logic, which one need to have more when it comes to think about whether I should do this or not? I'm talking about the people who are creating problems.
When you're talking about people who are creating problems, so emotion and logic, how to react to them, or
what do you think that they need to have in order to reduce this unnecessary things?
So there are some very basic needs that humans operate on, and when that is not met, I don't think we are in a position to provide any moral lecture or moral a moral lecture to a person who is just striving to meet their very basic needs. And that's why I feel sometimes people do what they have to do, and we are doing what we are having to do. So I am judgmental, yes, but this one place I feel that it's best not to judge people who we don't know much about. And that's why I feel emotion or logic, it doesn't matter. We have to maybe apply those to our own work and not while making a judgment about them.
So computers or human beings, with which you like to communicate, and which one is tough and which one is easy?
Always human beings. Computers are boring.
So as a part of your job, you talk with people.
Oh, a lot of talking, yes.
So how you match that language with computer language and integrate it and solve the problem of humans?
So the key to understanding what you have to do with the computers is definitely to understand what humans want to do with the computer. You just have to talk to people, try to understand what is that they are looking to get done when they're using the computer. So like by using the software in our case, and that is it. I mean, the rest is just like figuring out the logistics, I would say, figuring out how to make that happen. But at the center of everything are still humans, and I hope they'll always be.
And the projects that you're working on, you don't need to mention the project generally. The project that you're working on, for which industry it belongs to?
It's for like, it's software development. I work on a product that developers use to develop softwares, or organizations use to develop and deliver softwares. Yeah.
So which belongs to any industry you?
Yeah, IT industry in general, yes.
So what, the same project that you do, or different projects?
It's the same one. Like different in what sense?
Different means comparing one with another one.
Mm-hmm.
One project with another project. So what will be the difference? What will be the difference in different projects that you do, and how that problems will challenge you and make you think and solve the problem?
I mean, so far everything that I have worked on, like at this, the overall, I would say the larger process remains the same. What differs is like, how do we deal with the technicality, and how do we polish out the finer details while translating them into a UI or a feature or a user flow. It always starts with the user, and it's the middle that's messy, where we really have to prioritize. Like, people say a lot of things, but we, like any UX designer would tell you, it's difficult to understand, and not just understand, it's difficult to like gain the maturity where you're able to take a decision, like which part of the information that's shared with you should be prioritized, and did they really mean what they said? So that remains consistent no matter which product it is. It's always like how technology is going to support it that's messy, and that has to be figured out with the team.
So designing a product from nothing and developing a product and providing the security for the product, so all this, you know how things happen from zero.
Kind of, yes. But right. Unless you tell me to do it, like practically, I won't be able to. I can tell you what people want to do with it.
So if I want you to tell in a serial wise, so how you will explain the product design to the security and till delivery to the customer, and the problems that occurs after delivering.
Like, you want me to give like my perspective on the entire software development workflow?
I want you to explain the workflow that uses in your life. Because now you're doing DevOps thing. Before that, you are into product designing, and which was implementation related thing, which is interconnected. The present role is connected with the previous.
It's still product design. I mean, I'm still a product designer, so I'm doing pretty much the same thing. But yeah, I can tell you like what I see from the top. For the whole software development workflow.
Yeah.
I mean, talking about in very simple terms, like someone wants to, or a team wants to build a software together. So what they do is they like come together, they put this like one main branch at the center and work on this, these different features in their feature branches, which eventually needs to be merged to the main branch. And there they want to be sure that whatever they are like working on, it's not in conflict with what their colleagues are working on. Everything goes in smoothly, and but the challenge is that when the scale of this operation, it becomes more than like one person, two people, the concerns are like multifolds. Then comes, oh my God, like if this person worked on this part, then do I have to rebase my branch just to make sure that I'm like including that in, or do I have to like put in this standard security practice in place, or just to make sure that are my friends that are working on the same project, they're doing the same things that I am. Otherwise, we are all doing like many different things, and eventually what happens is we get a very broken main branch. Nobody wants that. So all this hustle is about keeping the branch clean, the main branch clean. And that's where the pipeline-related workflows comes into picture. Like, then this group of people, let's call them an organization now, now they just want to be sure that the practices that they are following, they are standard. So they take a decision, oh, why not automate these bunch of things? So that it just happens by itself. We don't have to stress about it. We can just like focus on building our features, and we don't have to think about like how the build is happening in the background and what are the small little actions we need to take that aligns with everybody else. So they put these like automated tasks in place. And that's what we are calling pipelines. And so pipelines, they kick in automatically. They just like program it that whenever this any person in the organization, they push something to the to merge in the main branch, kick off these automated tasks so that they can just get back to their other work. That happens. But let's say everybody's anxious, like humans are anxious. They want to know like what's happening. I worked on this thing like day and night, and I hope this goes fine. And that's where they want this like peace of mind. They want to know that the tasks that they have set off, it's like going in the right direction. It's happening fine. And if something is to go wrong while I'm going to sleep, I want to know about that like way much in advance so that I can, you know, just fix things when I, like much in advance and not just know about it 2 days later when I've lost a lot of time. So like attending to human anxiety is also one thing that we can do through our softwares, because I mean, people are people. And then eventually, like when it comes to the delivery phase, the concerns are like more about, is it happening smoothly? Is it breaking like any of the UIs on the app? Like, is it annoying our users? Because that's definitely not what we want. We want them to be happy. Now, for a happy customer, the delivery has to be like smooth, seamless. They shouldn't like experience a bunch of problems whenever they are trying to update their software. So that's where the other features come in. And in all this while, a lot of other tools are used, which are connected to your, like this major tool that you're working on. Now, when you are exchanging information with these external tools, like who's liable for those connections? What you're exchanging, the information that you're exchanging, they're very critical, but like whose responsibility is that to make sure that they're secure? And that's where this concern about like data leaks and security incidents come into picture. And like one doesn't want that once they have written the code, tried to push it to the main branch, that they also have to go and think about, oh, what's happening to this data that is going to be used, that is going to be exchanged between the two systems while the software is being built. So, and that's where our features, the new features come in, that whenever you are setting a set of credentials, variables, you know what, we'll take care of it. You just have to do it like once while setting up your project or repository. And then you just forget about it. And hopefully everything will be fine. And we'll tell you when it is not. How far have I reached? I think I've reached pretty far. So yeah, that's how I look at the product that I'm working on. And yeah, my perspective is a little like crunched to mostly the operations phase. So mostly ops in DevOps or DevSecOps. But yeah, that's the like very basic idea that I maintain in my head, that this is what the user is coming to do. Let's make sure that they're able to do it.
So continuous integration and continuous deployment is common thing. And there is constant change in the flow, and you are responsible for that. Your job is to observe that change, and change is constant in this role or job or in any software process. So what way of thinking that you have that is making you to adapt to the constant change?
So the ideas that I have in my head, they are not changing constantly. In fact, it's better if they don't change constantly. That means I can like focus more on what I'm doing. I think it comes with time, that more and more you're like going through the same thing and trying to understand your users' concerns and their motivations. It gets imprinted. And that's why I think getting the opportunity to work on something for a long time, it's good. Because, yeah, initially it feels like it's just huge, and like the scope of this work is like beyond my capability. But eventually, when you look at the same thing again and again and again, you get a good idea about every small intervention point, like understanding what users are feeling when they're at this point in the workflow and what should we do to help them. So whenever we get an issue, there's like this automatic diagram that comes in my head that, oh, so this issue is about this particular point when they are, let's say, looking at the job logs and trying to understand what to do with the error that they're seeing. And then their concern is how they're going to fix it. So this is what they want to do after this, and this is what they have done before this. And that helps me create a solution that like fits in with the bigger picture.
So you're working with software and hardware, the infrastructure, the operations one, and also the development side, how the software is being developed and providing security for that product.
Hardware, I would say.
I mean operations.
Operations as in operations in DevSecOps. So ops in the development process.
Okay. I thought that is something which is related to infrastructure side. So how is this combination of three different things?
See, if I like, I think to be better at my work, I have to focus. I have to hyper focus and like develop a tunnel view about what I'm doing. Otherwise, if I look at the whole picture all the time, I will really go crazy.
So apart from this, what simple things that you do?
Simple things. As in,
generally, one of the thing is music that you do.
Uh-huh.
Other than that,
I like traveling, but I haven't traveled in a long time, and I think I should get back to it. I mean, it just gives me extra creative boost to just be in a different environment. And yeah, it was a different environment. There was a lot of snow outside and I was not stepping out. So yes, different environment, but I want something that's more vibrant. But I feel everybody likes traveling. So there's nothing too special about it, but it definitely gives me the kick. And I like it a lot. Like I like wandering in unknown streets, not exactly very luxurious trips, but just experiencing the life on foot in a different place.
And as a human being working in technology in the part called India and working in technology in the part called Canada, so what's the difference?
I'll be honest, for me it was not different, because I was working from my room in Bangalore to working from my study in Toronto. So for me, not a lot of difference. Just that, yeah, I mean, it's mostly about where your immediate team is based. And I think I've gotten pretty like comfortable and good with async communication. So it doesn't really irk me or like give any problems if I'm not able to have synchronous calls with my team members. And it's the same with my team as well. So we are like very comfortable meeting asynchronously, just chatting or like talking on a document or an issue. So yeah, it's not different for me.
But the place, the physical place that you have changed, is there any change? Is that impacting your work?
My like schedules have changed. There's like, it's easier to go to the gym here and go out to the park to run, which was like really difficult there. So I get a lot of free time because I start early. So by 3 p.m. I'm like done. Then I get to cook and do other things, go out. That's one change that has happened. And it's fun. Like sometimes I don't even mind starting at 7 because that means I'll be like getting done pretty early in the day. That's fun.
So at last, what do you say to the experts, technology experts, who are watching us, listening to you from anywhere on this planet?
I would say if you're listening to me, then and you're working in the technology space, just make an extra attempt to be double sure like what value your product is providing to people, and also to like just check what are the negative impacts, because I mean it's really easy to dodge those and not think about those, but let's be more responsible and more accountable because we have this one planet and we also don't want to wreck humanity. So let's try our best together.
And how team, the collaboration, being in a team, how that team helps in building any product or impacts or creates energy with that product?
You have used a good word, energy. So I think when the whole team is enthusiastic and they're like happy about what they're working on or who they're working on, there's this like a positive energy in the team and this inertia that it brings, and it makes all the difference. Like I have worked with teams that were kind of like pretty dull, but currently I would say like the teams that I'm working with here in my new organization, they are so charged up, they're so like smart. I mean, you would always be in awe of like, oh my goodness, how smart my team members are. And they're also at the same time very humble, kind. So keeping that kind of humility intact, even while you are like so good at your work, it's pretty rare. So if to people who think like you are pretty good at your work, make sure you're also taking an extra effort to be humble to your team members, to be kind. Sometimes it's difficult to do that, like retain that in the larger world. So let's try to simulate that at your workplace to begin with, and then, you know, take it outside that.
And what leadership helps these different mentalities or different mindsets or different perspectives in the group to mm-hmm. come together and work on a single product and create it, you know, in great.
I think the what really changes the game here is when people are accepted for the differences that they bring, not and nobody tries to like iron everybody out into the same fabric. So people have their own interests. Everybody has their own this personal motivation, like something intrinsic that really drives them. If in an organization, if somebody tries to just make everybody like fit into the same shoes, it kind of like takes away the confidence, the enthusiasm out of people. So as long as nobody tries to do that and they are supportive of like how a person wants to grow, what kind of future do they see about for themselves, and just try to accommodate like the environment around to support that, I think it's magical. It's really helpful.
And at last, what do you say to my audience?
See, this is always a very like the most difficult part. I mean, I really want to say that climate change is real. Please take actions.
And as a technologist, as a person who is into different jobs, different roles, solving different problems, now into security, what is your observation about my work?
Your work? You have not shown me your work.
You didn't saw my videos on YouTube.
Oh, these videos. I mean, I thought your work as a developer. Yeah, I'm like, I told you this before as well, that it's amazing that this effort that you're taking to just speak to people from such different areas, such different expertise, and making them available for everybody else to get. It goes beyond a podcast that only addresses this one subject. So like, you can literally get to know about how a person in a specific position, like how their mind works. At least you can catch a glimpse of that. So I really appreciate what you do, of course.
And I'm a DevOps guy. I do DevOps work, DevOps engineering. So apart from this, I'm talking with experts like you who are from different parts of the world, who are into different levels in technology, who are from different technology companies, from Microsoft, Google, owners of the companies, Germany, China, Japan, like all country CEOs. I'm directly interacting and I'm talking about the business with them, like according to what their role is. So me talking with global experts and who are into different levels, not only technology people, I'm also interacting with people who are like diverse lawyers who give diverse, and also people who are doctors, who are psychologists, who are authors. I'm talking with different non-technical people also. So
yeah.
Me interacting like this, becoming a people's person, my job is actually to communicate only with the machine, but I'm communicating with people here. So how this combination is going to be helpful for me if I work in IT in coming days?
I did tell you before, right? Like, I really wish that more technologists, they talk to people who are not technologists. And you're doing that, and that's going to help at so many levels. But I really hope that other people also like take inspiration, and through your videos, they at least get to have a little understanding about how everything is important. It's not just like people who are developing softwares or developing these specific applications. It's not just them who are important. Everybody is important if you want a sane world around you. And you have to like give the due attention, respect to what they do as well. Like, nobody is beneath anyone. And if you want a more balanced society for your future generations or just for yourself, you have to start like acknowledging that how all these pieces, they fit together to make a more wholesome society.
So the last few lines that you told, definitely that impact, that changes a lot. I'm sure industry leaders will be watching and listening to this, what you said. If this helps in changing something in the world for the positive thing, you'll be the contributor, and I'll be the reason for this contribution.
Absolutely.
Can I put this video on my YouTube channel with your permission?
Yeah, please go ahead.
And also, can I put this audio and video clip on my podcast, website, internet, social media, everywhere with your permission?
All right. Thumbs up.
And do you want to share anything with my audience, your web links, where they can learn from you?
See, if I share my web link, that would be like not a great thing to share because it's not updated since ever. I have a website, vithika.com, but someday I will update that.
I'll put that link on the screen. I'll also in the description of these people in the description of this video. People who find our video on YouTube can see it and can see what you're doing. And also, can you spell it to my podcast listeners who cannot see it?
Sure, it's V for Van, Vithika.com. Vithika.com.
Thank you very much, Vithika, for giving me your valuable time and sharing some of your experiences and answering to some of my questions.
Thanks, Sai. And it was a pleasure chatting with you as always.
So thank you again.
Thank you.